Okay, this week is Parshas Vayera, a very long parsha, six columns. The Baal HaKriya count the columns, six plus columns, many, many in Yonim. A lot of these Yisoidos of the Torah appear in this week's parsha. Let's start with some Gevurah. I'm sure I told this to you last year, but it's a Yisoidos to Gevurah, and therefore it's Kedai to repeat, to review. In this week's parsha, we have two episodes of Yiras Shamayim that teach us about the concept of Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim is the most fundamental inyan in the Torah. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The Mishnah Reishis Das Yiras Hashem. Yiras Shamayim. Yeah.
Is this going to be Rabbi Yosef's
Vart? Who?
Rabbi Yosef.
Rabbi Yosef's Vart. Maybe I don't remember who said it. You know, I don't remember. I think you're right.
I want to know if I have to rewrite it.
Okay, let's just review very quickly. It's a very powerful yisoid. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. In this week's parashah, all the parashas, we are taught about Yiras Shamayim twice. First, when Avraham's wife is abducted by Avimelech. Avimelech says to Avram, I'm a tzaddik. I have not done anything wrong. What have I done? You told me that she is your sister. She told me that she is. You are her brother. I have besom levavi uvinigyon kapai osisizos. Why are you holding me responsible? Why is there a plague? Why has Hashem withheld my body from functioning properly, and my wife from giving birth, and my maidservant, so on and so forth? And Avram says at the end, Rak. When a person comes to a city, what do you do? We learn about hachnosas orchin in the beginning of the parsha. When you come into a city, you should ask a person about: do you have a place to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have parnosa? Is everything okay? The first thing you ask when a person walks into the shul is he single? I have a shidduch for him. Shidduch crisis. It's not appropriate to ask the person who walks into shul what's his marital status. There's a lot of mussar in that. It's so you're right. So you could see on your own. You don't have to check out marital status. Are you single? The first thing a person wants to know, what's your marital status? That's not the proper approach to life. For the more important, there are other things that have to be taken care of first. There are cherets before we come to that. So at the end of this week's parasha, at the Akedah, the Malach says to Avram, Al tishlach yotcha el hanavi al tas lo mu'uma ki ato yodati ki yirei elokim ata. Now I know you've passed the 10th Nisayin that you are yirei elokim. Again, another limit of yirei elokim. So what is the message? Why in this one parasha do we learn about yirei shemayim two different points of view? From the lack of yirei shemayim from Avimelech, and from the positive from Avram, of yirei shemayim from Avram. So I actually forgot who says this, he says this is the difference. These two ideas of Yiras Shamayim are critical to our full appreciation of what is Yiras Shamayim. What is the difference between a Yorei Shamayim and a person that's lacking Yiras Shamayim? The difference is a person who does not have Yiras Shamayim, everything is mutter until you find out that it's Osir. If you don't know, it's mutter. I have a shayla. I don't know. Innocent until proven guilty. So it must be mutter until I find out that it's aser. A person that is a yorei shamayim, it's just the opposite. Everything is aser until you find out that it's mutter. And this, again, it's an extreme statement, and of course it has to be taken with a grain of salt, but this is really the difference between Avimelech and Avram. Avimelech said, everything is mutter. This woman comes to town, and no one says boo. She says that you both agree, that you're brother and sister. Everything looks good. Avimelech, if you would just take a few moments to reflect and inquire, you would realize the reason why they're telling this to you is because they know that you're going to kill them. And that's why they have no choice but to lie. It's very easy for you to figure out the story. No, but you don't want to know the story. As long as all lights are green, if everything is mutter until you find out that it's aser. Avram Avinu wanted desperately to shecht his son. And even when the Malach said to him, don't shecht, al tishach yotcha lanar, don't do anything, he had to go through many different the test to determine that really the Malach is truly the various Midrashim, Avram wanted at least to make a little blemish in Yitzchak, to somehow to do something to Yitzchak, to Mekayim the Akedah to some degree, until finally the Malach said, no, 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 don't do it. Because when a Yorei Shemayim, when he takes an approach to life, it's an entirely different approach. And the difference between these two approaches in life, the world's apart. Everything is mutter until you find out that it's usser, or do you live a life where everything is usser until you find out what to do, then it's mutter? That's the difference between a person that lives with the Yirah Shemayim and a person that does not live with the Yirah Shemayim. Is that what we said last year? Is that the part?
We added some extra things.
Okay, leave that. Okay, leave that. I just want to bring out the basic yisod. Okay, let's now go.
Last year you added some extra.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I know. I just wanted to bring it because this thing is a very important yisod. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Okay, this is a ha'ara. I have ha'ara in the parasha. I don't know if it's true. But it always bothered. This idea always bothered me. And I just want to throw out the thought. And maybe what I'm saying is not correct. Avraham, the Malachim come to Lot. They come to Lot, they come to Sodom, they come to destroy Sodom, and part of the plan was they're going to save Lot and his family. Lot sees them, Lot was trained, Rashi tells us, was trained by Avraham to take in a guest. When Lot sees the Malachim, he says to them, please come inside. Vayomer hine no Adonai sudunach, please turn no el beis avdechem velinu v'rachet zirangleichem, come and lodge, wash your feet, v'hishkamtem v'halachtem l'arkechem, and then in the morning you'll go on your way. Lot, at this point in time, was not aware that the Malachim were here to destroy Sodom, and there would be no tomorrow. Look at that. Okay, he says, come, lie down, take a rest, and tomorrow you'll go on your way. In other words, you'll see it's not so bad here. It's not so bad. We're not such great sinners where we deserve that the small point of halachdem l'dar kechem, go back on your way, don't come and destroy, make trouble here for us. Vayoymeru lo, the malachim said, no, we're not coming into your house. Ki vo rechov nolin, we're going to sleep in the street. In other words, these are malachim. The malachim are holy creatures. They know that Lot is not tzaddikal. They know that Sodom is not a place where you want to stay overnight in someone's house. They were people of principle. Soinei matano siyachia. If this principle is true with regard to a human being, Allah has kam v'kam is true with regard to a malach, then certainly the malach doesn't need the hospitality, the food, the lodging of a human being. They said, no, we're not interested. Thank you, but no thank you. Lo, v'rochov nolim. Malachim. And then something shocking happens. Pasuk Gimel. This always bothered me. I don't know if it's bothered me for the wrong reason. Vayiftzar bom me'ot. Lot urges them. He persuades them. He uses his talents, his diplomatic koichos, to persuade the Malachim. No, come in, come in. He wasn't the king for nothing. He wasn't the shofet. He wasn't the shofet. He was a master politician. You think we have politicians today that can pull off stunts? There was no politician like Lot who was able to become the king, the shofet of Sodom. By Yiftzar Bom Me'od, Lot persuaded the Malachim very much, and guess what? They gave in. Vayasuru Elof. They turned away from the derech and they entered his house. They turned towards him, vayovohu el beiso. And indeed, vayasla mishteh umatzoy sofo vayochel. They allowed themselves to come into the home of Sodom. Now, this bothered me because if the malachim are people of principle, they are people of integrity, soinei matanos yichyeh, they should have maintained their position. We're not here to eat. We're not here to sleep in your house. We're not here. We have a mission. We're not interested. You can talk to us from today until tomorrow. You're not going to change our minds. We're not dealing with a weak human being. We're dealing here with Malachim. And yet, you see, Lot got the better of them. Lot was able to persuade them, you're coming into my house. You're under my influence. Let's go a few psukim later. They stay in the house. The people in the town get a sense that there are guests. They arrive at the door. and they say to Lot, you know, we know what's going on here. Vayikru elot vayomru lo ayeho anoshim ashebo elecha halayla. Hotziyem eleinu v'neida oisa. Vayetzi aleihem lot ha-pescha v'adela sogei achadu vayom vayomar al noachai toreh. Do not harm my brethren. Hinei no, if you won't, I'll give you my daughters. Shtei vanos asher eim lo yodu ish. Otziyonu eshena aleichem. V'asu lohen katabeneichem. Rak lanoshim ho'ila al-tasu d'vokel kinbo b'ksol karasi. And the people say to Lot, Vayomru, Gesh Hala, get out of the way. Vayomru, and they start making litzanis. Ha'echad bala gur vayishpoit shafoit, ato nara lucha mehem, even worse. And here it says something is shocking. Vayiftziru voish belot me'ot. Exactly the same words, but even in a more intense form. The same word, vayiftziru, they persuade, they urge, they press against the man Lot, ma'od very much, just like Lot did to the Malachim, the people are doing to Lot, and here it's not one. Until now, it was one man against three. Lot was trying to persuade three people, and Lot succeeded. Here, we have a group, many people. We have a group, we have a whole city. A whole city is coming to persuade. Each one gets up one after the other and gives a speech. They each present an agenda and they have way techniques. Ma'od, very much. And Lot says, no, no, no. Vayikshu l'shpor hadoles, violence breaks out. Lot was stubborn. He refused to give in to the point when violence erupted. What do you learn from this? Now Lot, you have to remember, who are we comparing here? Malachim, Malachi Elyon, Kedoshim, the creatures that spend their day only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lot was no tzaddikal. Lot went to stone for the money. Lot was willing to give away his daughters. Lot was mezana with his daughters. We're not dealing here with a very big tzaddikal. And yet, Lot was the person that was able to overcome persuasion, was a person who was able to maintain his values low. The answer is no is no. Whereas the Malachim, the creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave in right away. Lot persuaded. What do you learn from this? You learn from this the koyach of a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings. Which of the two are greater? So you can argue the Malachim are greater. They have limited bechira. They're holy. They're kedosha elyon. But we know from numerous memori chazal that the Malachim are very jealous of human beings because human beings have the ability. They have mobility. A person can rise, can reach higher and higher levels of kedusha, whereas Malachim are locked into one single madrega. But it's more than that. Look at this story. These psukim that are mamish, they're juxtaposed one to the other. A human being has the ability, even a low human being, a simple human being like Lot, has the ability to be true to his principles. I don't want you to take my people. I'm not giving up my people. All the persuasion in the world will not convince me to give in to you. And a malach from the Kedosh Elyon, you know, and there's a back door. Is a back thing, and we learned about, you know, today we live in a world of computers. I have a robot, you know how to press the right buttons. A robot can accomplish incredible things. There are things that a robot can, we know a computer would accomplish, what a human being can accomplish in a billion years. But yet, you can manipulate the computer. You know the right buttons, all the best security. Every single day there's another scandal of cyber security where Ganovim can break into the most sophisticated computers. There's always a way to manipulate a machine, no matter how smart it is. But a human being of integrity is a person that is perfect. And that is a limud musa we learned from this pasuk, the juxtaposition of the persuasion that Lot had against the Malachim versus the persuasion that the people had against Lot. Lot was the one who did not give in, whereas the Malachim, they were the ones who gave in to persuasion.
So Lot should have the mitzvah of serving them.
Okay, so that's the weakness in this idea. The weakness in this idea is that they gave in for a good reason. Yeah. They gave in for a good reason. Okay, I hear the question, and I appreciate the question. The question bothers me, but I still think there's a lot of truth in the idea that I'm presenting, is because if you're a person of principle, there are many stories of Gedolei Yisrael in this generation, previous generations, that would not accept the gift. And you can tell you, I'll give you a billion reasons why it's for the best interest for the people, for the Talmud Chacham, the great the tzaddik, to accept the gift. You're a person of principle. I don't take gifts. The original inclination, the original machshava was low. We're not coming into your house. They must have had a very good reason why they did not want to come into the house of Lot. Lot's home was probably not a very holy home. Whatever their machshava for not coming into his home should not have been subject to change. And the fact that they were able to give in shows there's a weakness in a malach. And this opens up, awakens us to realize how great a human being is, how much potential a human being has, and a person should not waste his life thinking, listen, what am I? I'm just a person. A person is much greater than a malach, has much more greater potential to reach higher madrigas than a malach, and a person can maintain his principles, can withhold against nisyonos even greater than a malach. Well, even if it has bechira, it's limited bechira. Malach has limited bechira.
Does Malach have emotions?
We don't really know. We don't know.
Jealous.
We don't know. There are conflicting midrashim.
Malbim says that this whole thing about the Malach, what you just pointed out, was just they wanted to know on their own if Lot was deserving of being saved. So this was a test. What he would say, all right, sleep in the street. Okay, so then he's one of them.
Right. So you argue that way also. Okay, but I still think there's a mahalach this way as well. In Chanan, I am Panim Torah. Yeah.
There's another case where somebody gives in. It's a case in Tanakh. Yeah. That goes. I forget the name of the property. Goes to Israel, and he warns Yeroboam, not to offer the sacrifice, and his hand becomes withered, and then on his
Achia Hashiloni
comes straight back. And on the way...
Okay, I don't know. Okay, it could be. Okay, but just in this one parasha we have over here, these two are juxtaposed. They're right next to each other. The same exact word is being used. There's a message here in how it's presented. Okay, let's go to another idea. Well, in this week's parasha, we also learn about the mitzvah of Zerizim Makdimim Lemitzos. This mitzvah appears in three different places. The idea I'm telling you now comes by and large from the Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu, by Rabbi Eliyahu Atya. We mentioned him many, many times. And what I'm telling you is not 100% in his Sefer, but the basic Yesodos of what I'm suggesting comes from his Sefer. We have here in this week's parasha three different examples of Zerizim Makdimim Lemitzos. The most popular Makar is the Akedah. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker Vayachavosh Es Chamoro. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that you're going to do the Akedah, he did not delay. He woke up early in the morning. He himself saddled his donkey. There was no delay whatsoever. Here we learn Zerizim Makdimim Lemitzos, a bris milah somehow corresponds to the Akedah. That's why the custom is to do a bris milah as early in the morning
except
as
the
possible. What?
Except in
Lakewood. Okay, there's always an exception. Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzos. Now, the truth is there are two more examples of Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzos. The first is in the beginning of the parasha when the second is the story of Hagar. When the Malach, when Hashem said to Hagar, said to Avram, Kol asher tomar eleha, Avram, Sarah, Shema b'kolah, whatever Sarah says to do, you should listen to. We find... No, I'm getting confused. What am I saying? What am I saying? I'm getting all confused. So let's go to the beginning. That's another idea. Let's go to the beginning of the parasha of Hachnosas Orchim. Hachnosas Orchim. The Malachim appear to Avram Avinu, and multiple times in the parasha is it said that Avram was swift in his preparation to feed the guests. Let's look at the Pesukim. The Pesukim say he saw the guests, and right away he vayorotz vayar vayorotz likrosan mi pesachol. He told Hashem, time out. I have something over here. It's more important than you, Hashem. You have to wait. Vayorotz. Abraham ran to greet the guests. Then what did he say? He said, Ve'echa v'sadchu, he went to Sarah, v'yimaher Avraham. A second expression. Ha'oyel el Sarah, v'yoymer. Third expression. Mahari, quickly, prepare. Shalosh sim kemach, silas lusha, as you goes. V'yel habakar, expression number four. Rotz Avraham. expression number five, Vayimaher la'asos oso. Okay, Avram Avinu over here is running a marathon. Okay, sprinter. New York Marathon, he's running. Five expressions of Rots. Rots, Maher, Vayimaher, Mahari, all the various expressions of how quickly Avram Avinu, how what a zaris he was in the midst of Hachnasas Ochim, and indeed the Chofetz Chaim, he develops this theme, and he talks about when you do Hachnas Ochim, don't bring a person home to your home and tell them the Dvar Torah, and sing Shalom Aleichem. If you bring a person who's very hungry into your home, the first thing you do is you make Kiddush in your seat, and then you say Shalom Aleichem. You should change the Seder of Friday night if the people that you are inviting are hungry. Okay? Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzos. Where is the third example of Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzos that Chazal emphasizes in Parsha? Shocking Makar, Lot and his two daughters. Now, Lot and his two daughters, obviously, this was one of the worst, if not the worst, type of sins that a person can commit, to be incest, father with his two daughters. But yet, Chazal says something shocking, that in the reward for the older daughter doing the Avera with her father first, she merited that one of her descendants, Rus HaMovia, entered into Klal Yisrael way before, many generations before her sister, the one who was Mezana with her father. Second, Nama came from Ammon, that was the wife of Shlomo HaMelech.
It was and, his mother, wasn't it?
And it was the Rechavam. Rechavam came from, wasn't his mother, the Bathsheba. Bathsheba was from David. It was Nama Hana from Ammon, married Shlomo, and that produced Rechavam. So we have over here two women that came into Klal Yisrael from descendants of Lot, one from Moab, Rus HaMoaviah, which produced David, one from Ammon, the second daughter, the younger daughter, which produced Nama HaAmonis, which produced Rechavam, the third king in Klal Yisrael. So Chazal said, look at the difference of generations. There was a gap of, seven, eight generations. I'm not clear the number of generations, but there was a very large gap of generations. How long it took the second sister for one of her descendants to enter the Klal Yisrael? Why was there such a delay? Because she was not a Zoriz. The one that was a Zaris was the older sister, the Bechir. The Bechir was swift. She saw that the world was destroyed. At least she believed, according to one interpretation, the world was destroyed. There's no one in the world that can populate the world. So in this case, it's an exception. Chayro Ashah. We have no choice but to live with our father in order to Nechayim Yavinu Zara, in order to populate the world. She did an Avera L'Shem Shemayim, and because she was swift, she was quick in doing the Avera, that is why she merited to have descendants that became part of Klal Yisrael, in fact produced David HaMelech, produced Mashiach, much faster, much swifter than her sister, who delayed and tarried into doing the mitzvah until the second night.
Even though she was criticized
and she was ostracized and the terrible things happened, absolutely, but Ayin Pan Mutara, there was a degree of righteousness in her act, and that is why David HaMelech came from this act. Ayin Pan Mutara is a very complex thing. It's obviously extremely difficult for us to relate to and to understand this story in the Torah. But nevertheless, Chazal do give her some degree of credit, and in fact they use her actions as a source for the concept of Zerizim Makdinim Lemitzos. So Rav Akiva makes the following observation. Following observation is we have three examples of Zerizim Makdinim Lemitzos. Guess what? All of these three examples, they were all Averos. They were not even Mitzos. Avram Avinu, when he entertained the guests, they were not even human beings. We know they were Malachim. The Malachim don't need food. They don't need lodging. They don't need anything. They don't need water. They don't need kemach, selas. They need nothing. So when the day was over, did Avram Avinu really, in the big picture of things, did he really do a mitzvah? No. He had a good kavan, a good intent. It was a good exercise for him. But in the truth is, he accomplished absolutely nothing. The creatures were Malachim. They did not need the food. Lot and his three daughters. Was this permitted according to halacha? Absolutely not. Because the world was not destroyed. There was a whole world out there. It was only the five cities of stone that were destroyed, or four cities of stone that were destroyed, and not the whole world. There was a whole world. And if the daughters of Lot would have really just calmed down and thought about it, they would have realized the world will go on. There are other people out there in the world, and there's no... Like Avraham, what did they think, that Avraham was destroyed? If they only would have thought deeply, they would have come to the conclusion that it can't possibly be that the world was destroyed. Maybe they should have made an investigation. They should have went and sent out, should have went out into the world and see, are there survivors? If after a period of time they would not find any survivors, maybe then they would be permitted to do. But not at this moment in time. So the truth is, what they did did was osur. It was good kavana, but it was not, it was done shaloi kedin. The third example of Avraham, the Akedah, Vayashkeim Avraham Aboker, Vayachavosh Eschamaro, to bring Yitzchak as an offering. When the day was over, was Yitzchak offered as a carbon? No, he was not offered. Al Tishach Yodcha El Hanar. And the Malach told him, you know, you made a mistake, the Mshah and the Pasuk, Hashem never told you to actually slaughter him. Hashem told you, the Haleu, to bring him up. So we have over here three examples in the sixth parasha of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvos, where the people were Zrizim, but the truth is, they didn't even do a mitzvah. They didn't accomplish anything. There was no Hachnos Azarchim. Lot and his two daughters was an Avera. So Chazal give her credit, oh, they were Zrizim, but they didn't. They did an Avera. And Avraham never brought Yitzchak as an offering. So how can these three examples in the Torah be the sources for Zrizim, Akdin, and Mitzvos when there was no mitzvah? If you'll show me an example where a person did a mitzvah, and part of doing the mitzvah he was a Zariz, then you have a very solid makar for Zrizim, Akdin, and Mitzvos. So the answer is exactly the point. Exactly the point is the concept of Zrizim does not mean we make a mistake and we translate to be quick. You have a mitzvah to do, so let's do it quickly. Let's do it, instead of doing it at 10 o'clock, let's do it at 9 o'clock. Let's do it earlier, better than later. That's not what it means. Because then the sources that we have in front of us don't fit the halacha. Zrizim makdim l'mitzvos means you do a mitzvah without making any calculations. Don't make cheshbonos. Because if you make cheshbonos, when it comes to any mitzvah, even the most important mitzvah, you'll always put off the mitzvah. Why should we do bris milah today? Early, 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's do bris milah. Let's do it later in the day, at the end of the day, when people come home from work, they're more relaxed. Or you can any mitzvah that you are presented with, you can make, if you can come up with 10 reasons, 100 reasons, 1,000 reasons why the mitzvah should not be done, period. Why it's an except, sakana to a bris milah, what will the doctors say? One, who knows what could happen? Who knows all the possible diseases? Or every mitzvah is like this. Any possible mitzvah you can come up with, lamdasha heterim, why the mitzvah should be avoided, at least temporarily, and if not avoided completely, it should never be done. The concept of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvos is just do it and don't make any cheshbonos. If Avraham and Lot, Lot's daughters, and the Avraham and Achnas Orchim would have made cheshbonos, they never would have done the mitzvah. And the Rav Adya explains, Chazal tell us, Hashem took out the chama min artikya, from its sheath. If you remember this past summer, there were some very hot days. There were some days that were so hot, you couldn't find a living creature in the street. You can relate to it. Chazal tell us that it was so hot outside, it wasn't humanly possible for a person to be found in the street. A person could not walk from a local village and pass Avraham's house and still be alive. That's how hot it was. If Avraham would have only reflected, who are these three people? Who are these? There's no way they could survive. How in the world can they be on this road, which means they've been walking for 5 hours in this heat? They would have died by now. And Avraham was very familiar with Malachim. We know that from Chazal. We know that he knew what Malachim were all about. If Avraham only would have made a cheshbon, he would have realized these people are fakers. They're fakers. They're not really people. These are golems. These are Malachim. And I don't have to go and exert myself. But that's the godless of Zrizim Akdimim L'mitzvos. Avraham did not make the cheshbon. Doesn't mean to do it quickly. Maher. The maher is only, don't make cheshbonos. Because if Avraham would have just stopped for 1 minute, it would have hit him. These aren't people. It's not possible. Just impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Because it was too hot. It was too hot. It was 200 degrees. There's no way in the world a human being would have survived to pass by his house. It can't be.
Why was he waiting for Orchim then?
What? Because he didn't make the cheshbon. That's exactly why the Chazal learned from this pasuk that he was a zoris. Because a zoris doesn't mean we're going to do it 9 o'clock and not 10 o'clock. The teich, the translation of zoris, means do a mitzvah without making calculations, cheshbonos. Because if you make a cheshbon, every single mitzvah you have, you can find 100 reasons why I shouldn't do the mitzvah. And al pi halacha, al pi halacha, I'm exempt from the mitzvah. And in fact, it's even an avera to do the mitzvah. You can go to the extreme. Go to the case of Lot. Lot's daughters. Lot's daughters is a complicated case, but Chazal give them credit. Chazal tell us, we learn from Lot, Zrizim Akdimim L'mitzvahs. They contrast Rus with Nama. A whole series of generations. So they find something virtuous about what the daughters of Lot did in one respect. If Lot's daughters would have sat down and made a cheshbon, this is incest. You know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe there is a world. Maybe there are survivors just because we see what happened in front of us in Sodom. You know, maybe there's what happened to our uncle, Avraham Avinu. What happened? We'll wait a week, we'll wait some time. But on the other hand, Pruravu, Lashavis Yatsara. Hashem created the world that it should be populated. Let's not delay. Lot's daughters did not make cheshbonos. And that, in this instance, again, this is a very difficult thing to understand, in this instance was a maila. It wasn't that the first daughter was quick and the second daughter was slow. The first daughter made less cheshbonos than the first daughter. They didn't make. And what about the case of the Akedah? Same thing. If Avram would have reflected, would have said, how could it be Hashem is telling me to sacrifice my child? Ki bi Yitzchak yikaru l'chazora. What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? Does Hashem want human sacrifices? If Avram Avinu would only have reflected, would have spent some time meditating upon the mitzvah, he would have come to the conclusion that it's nechanami. There is no mitzvah to slaughter. V'haleyu,
v'haleyu. Do you understand if Hashem is telling him to kill someone, is something wrong in general?
Okay, it's...
If Hashem comes to me and tells me...
You're asking a good question, but we have to... The Ayin Panim L'Torah... Ayin Panim L'Torah, there's truth to your question, but there's also truth in this approach, in this dimension of Avraham didn't make cheshbonos.
Wasn't that part of the Nishoyin with the Akedah, if he would have challenged?
What?
Wasn't that actually part of the Nishoyin, the test?
But if Avraham... Yes, it's part of the Nishoyin, the challenge, but it's also part of the Nishoyin, not the challenge. If it sounds like Hashem told me to bring Yitzchak as a carbon, it sounds like... This is what it sounds like. You go with your gut feeling. This is what it must be.
But we generally discourage
Kanois,
so
Kanois
is also...
It's a very delicate balance. But the point is still true. Avraham did not make cheshbonos. If he would have made cheshbonos, he could have come up with a reason why he should not do the Akedah. And therefore, the common denominator of all three examples, again, to review the whole idea, we have in this parasha three major examples of Zrizim Makdinim L'mitzvos. We always... Translate Zrizim means early. We're going to do the mitzvah, do it an hour earlier. That's not what it means. Because if that's what it means, these three examples would not be a source. Because in all three examples, there was no mitzvah done. The mitzvah was not accomplished. There was no achnas arachim. Lot and his two daughters was viewed as incest. And Avraham Avinu never sacrificed Yitzchak. How then can this be a case of Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvah?
Maybe it's based on
Machshav. The answer is, so what's the... Exactly, so it's based on Machshav. And what was the common Machshav in all three different examples? That the people did not make cheshbonos when it came to come to do a mitzvah. You are presented with a mitzvah, do the mitzvah. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't say, I can't give tzedakah because I have to give tuition, I got to do this, and I have to do this. You'll always find excuses. And you'll find good excuses, valid excuses. And if you go to the extreme, you'll find that doing the mitzvah is really an avera to do the mitzvah. And it's aser. But that's krum. That's what we learned. Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvah requires you. You have a mitzvah. Don't be a landed. Do the mitzvah. Don't make any cheshbonos. Just like these three stories in the parsha. Okay, let's go to another idea.
My era is different from my era. In terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, God said, "Lo yirah al Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, u'shmei Hashem lo nodati lahem." Moshe was complaining, "Me'oz basi al paro lo dabe v'shmecha." He was making kindness.
the God's message was, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they did everything I said, they didn't ask what.
They made cheshbonos. Moshe was making too many cheshbonos. Shmi Hashem l'nedati. They didn't make any cheshbonos. Exactly. Let's go to another. It's a very short idea. I saw this from Rav Wolfson. This made an impression on me. A very short you saw it from Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Mashiach of Taradas, the Rav of the Kila Emunas Yisrael. He says, he makes the following observation. This week's parasha, we have the birth of Yitzchak. Right? Vashem Pakad Yitzchak Kasha Omar, Vayas Kasha Diber, and Vatar Vatelet Kasha Diber, and we have the birth of Yitzchak. He makes the following observation. Parshas Noach, and in Parshas Lech Lecha, the only one of the three of us that appear is Avraham. Avraham, he appears on the scene all alone, married to Sarah, but he does not yet have any children. Let's fast forward to Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev, Vayishlach, Miketz, Vayeshev, I said something strange, right? Parsha, but Vayetze. Let's fast forward to Vayetze. Vayetze, Parshas Vayetze. The only one we have in Vayetze is Yaakov. From Vayetze Umikano Haba, there's no mention whatsoever of Yitzchak or Avram, pretty much. At least they're not alive. But what in between Parshas Lech Lecha and Parshas Vayetze, we have Yitzchak. In Parshas Vayera, there's Yitzchak. In Parshas Chayesara, there is Yitzchak. And in Parshas Toldos, there is Yitzchak. But Yitzchak is never alone. That's the difference. In the Chumash Bereishis, Avraham is alone in some of the parashios. Yaakov is alone. But Yitzchak, the bridge between Yaakov and Avraham, is never alone. From the time that Yitzchak is born, he's always born in a parasha where there is someone with him. Either Avraham is with him in this week's parasha, next week's parasha, or Yaakov is with him in the following parashios. What's the deeper meaning of this observation? What does Yitzchak represent? Yitzchak represents Midas Hadin. Avram represents Chesed. Yaakov represents Torah or Rachamim. The lesson is, Chesed can stand on its own. Rachamim and the Torah can stand on its own. But never allow, never have Yichud with Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin is never allow harshness to stand on its own. Whenever you have the introduction of Midas Hadin of Yitzchak, it has to be subdued, has to be diluted with either the chesed of Avraham or with the Midas HaRachamim of Yaakov. And that's an observation, the bigger picture. Look at the entire Chumash Bereishis here with the birth of Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin is not a good thing by itself. You have to be very careful when it comes to kanois and harshness. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a Chassidish Shavart, but I have an addendum to the Chassidish Shavart, which I think there is some message for us in this generation. We have here the appearance of the Malachim, of the Malachim to Avram, and the prediction and the Nevuah, the prophecy that Sarah will give birth to a child. The Malachim reveal this to Avram and Sarah twice. First, they say to Avram, "Vayom relav ayei Sarah ishtecha, vayom hinev ohel, vayom eshoiv oshuv elecha koeis chayav hinevein l'sra ishtecha." First, they say to Sarah, "Good news, shoiv oshuv elecha, I shall certainly return to you." A double expression of shoiv oshuv. When koeis chayav at a time of life, and they will be a child to Sarah, your wife. Okay. Avram and Sarah, the Pasuk tells us, was zikenim, it was not possible for them to have children. Nevertheless, Sarah overhears this prediction, this prophecy, and she laughs. It can't be. Hashem criticizes Sarah. And now Hashem tells Sarah a second time, "Hayipolei me'Hashem davar." Do you think there's something Hashem can't do? La moed, the time will come. Oshuv elecha, I will return to you. Ko'es chaya ulesarah vein. So the vision of Sarebbe, the Oyev Yisrael. This is the old vision of Sarebbe. I think the name of the sefer was the Oyev I'm not sure I'm saying correctly, Oyev Yisrael from Vizhnitz, if I'm not mistaken, he says the following, makes the following observation. We have two psukim. Apta, so it's a different, sefer. It's called also Oyev.
It's also Oyev Yisrael
Vizhnitz. Yeah, Oyev Yisrael, so yes. Okay, so there's another Oyev Yisrael Vizhnitz, and he says the following idea. We know that there are two times for the coming of Mashiach. There's the time of the Itan Achishana. Okay, the pasuk we read, repeat in Zechariah, is in Zechariah, the Shabbos HaGodol, the Haftarah, the Ita Achishana. If we merit, Mashiach will come before its time, Achishana. Hashem will hasten the Geula. If we do not merit, be Ita. There's a predestined time when Mashiach must come no matter what. Here we have two psukim predicting the coming of Mashiach. First pasuk is written, but is written in a repetitive form. Shoyv Oshuv Elecha. The Oyev Yisrael Mivishn, it says, this refers to the Zman of Achishana. If we merit, it will come swiftly before its time. Shoyv Oshuv. Repetition. I will return to you before the coming of its time. In other words, with the birth, I didn't explain this correctly, the birth of Yitzchak is really Maisa Avo Simon Labanim, is really an illusion, a prophecy for the coming of Mashiach. Just like, who would ever think that Sarah would be able to give birth to a child? Who would ever think that Mashiach can come in our generation? Mashiach can come. It can happen. It will happen. And in fact, you know, one of the most famous codes, you know, those who are into Bible codes, is Hayipole Me Hashem Davar La Moed Hashuv Elech. When you skip from the word Me Hashem, you skip every letter, La Moed Hashuv Elech, Ka Eischa, will return to you at a time of life, is HaMashiach. It's not a very popular code. It's an illusion. The birth of Yitzchak is an illusion that the time will come, the Gula will come. And we have here, the Oyev Yisrael says, we have here two psukim. One pasuk alludes to the coming of Mashiach Be'achishena, before its destined time, and the other pasuk alludes to the coming of Mashiach Be'ita, in its destined time. The first pasuk that repeats the word Shov, Shov HaShov, refers to Mashiach Be'achishena, and the second pasuk, Lamo'ed, at the specific set time, Ashuv Elecha, is the Zman of Mashiach coming Be'ita. If we merit, we'll be Zecha to the first Pasuk. If we don't merit, we'll be Zecha to the second Pasuk. This is the word from the Oyev Yisrael Mivishnitz. Okay, now, let's add a little piece, a little suggestion, addendum to this idea. When was the child born? There's the Mashiach, and there's also Peshut HaShol Mikra. And there were two psukim. So that also has to mean that the Malach was telling Sarah, if you're lucky, Yitzchak will be born quickly, before his time. And if you're not lucky, he'll be born Lamoed at the set time. Rashi tells us that he made an etch on the wall. He put an etch on the wall, and when the sun will get exactly to this place, that's when he will be born. So when was Yitzchak born? Was the Yitzchak born as a preemie, premature, before his time? Or was he born on the day, Lamoe, the set time, when the sun dial hit the mark that the Malach put on the wall, which was exactly 1 year later? The truth was, it was more than 1 year later, because the going following the solar calendar, there's a sundial when the sun will return to the exact location, and that's to mean 11 days from a year and 11 days from today. So when was Yitzchak born? Well, let's go to the videotape. Let's go to the end of the parasha. Vashem pokad es Sarah. What does the pasuk say? Kasher Amar vayas Hashem l'sura kasher diber v'tahar v'tel et Sarah le'Avraham bein l'skunav la'mo'ed. The pasuk is very, very specific, very clear. The baby was born la'mo'ed asher diber oso Elokim. That's the second pasuk. Lomazet sochakos sorolem ha'af umdam eled vanizakati ha'ipolim mashem davar lamo eid oshuv elecha ko eis chaya ulasarabein. Yitzchak was born not early. He was born at the time of Moed. What happened in between? Sarah was abducted. By who? Avimelech. What was the consequence of being abducted during that period of time? The Umos Olam Ad Hayom Hazeh, and especially Yishmael, the very next pasuk. There's not even a hefsek in the parasha. Vateres Sarah, what's right after the baby was born? Vayigdal v'yigomal, vayas Avraham mishte gadol b'yom yigomel esitzok. And we don't even have a parsha break. We don't have a break, any break whatsoever. The pasuk, the next pasuk is Vateres Sarah es ben Hagar hamitzris asher yodol liAvraham mitzachek. Was making litzonis. Rashi says, "Avodah Zarah gilei Raishri chastam." What a Chazal say? Why is everyone so impressed with this little baby? May Avi Melech Nisabra Sarah. Sarah was abducted by Avi Melech. What do you think happened behind closed doors? Sarah got pregnant from Avi Melech. Sarah was married to Avram for all these years, nothing ever, 75 years, nothing ever happened. And now all of a sudden she gets pregnant the day after she leaves the home of Avi Melech. So what do you think? Who do you think happened? What do you think happened over here? Who's the one that perpetuated this lie, outrageous lie? It was Yishmael. Me'avimelech nisarba Sarah. Leitzonis. What would have happened if Sarah would have gotten pregnant before they went to Avimelech Melech Gerar? But no one could say this. So the Malach. So look what happened here. The Malach, this event, Vashem Pogat Sarah, immediately follows the story of Sarah being abducted. Vashem, she becomes pregnant after they first leave Avimelech. And then this whole event played out at the end of 12 months. 12 months and 11 days. But the Malach already gave a bracha before. Shoiv Oshuv Elecha Ko'es Chaya. Didn't say the son coming back Lamoed. That was the second pasuk. The Malach only had to revise when I'm coming back only after Sarah made Litzanis. Vatitzchak Sarah Vikirba Lamar Acharei Veloisi Hoysali Edel Adoni Zakein. And then Hashem says to Avram, what's your wife making Litzanis? Long as that Sarah Lam Hafum Ilivani Zakati. Then Hashem has to say, Haipolivya Hashem Lamodashavilacha. What's this goal? What's going on over here? If Sarah would not have made Litzanis over what the Malach said, then the brach of Shoiv Oshuv Achishena swiftly before the time would have been fulfilled. Sarah would have become pregnant immediately. And then when they would have come to Melech Gerar, they would see this woman, she's pregnant. So first of all, he wouldn't take her. He wouldn't want to take a pregnant woman. Avram's life would not have been in jeopardy. And Yishmael would never have made Litzanis. If he never would have made Litzanis, Avraham would never have driven him out. If he would have not have driven him out, that would have not have planted in Yishmael the hatred and the jealousy that Yishmael has for Yitzchak, for the descendants of Yitzchak, which live with us, which we suffer from, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The whole world would have been very, very different.
So now
let's take this and go backwards to the Vart from the vision Sereva, the Oy of Yisrael. Let's go back to the Vart. These two psukim also refer to the coming of Mashiach. We foolishly think, listen, what's the big deal? So Mashiach won't come today, so it'll come next year. It won't come when I'm 20 years old, it'll come when I'm 40 years old, it'll come when I'm 80 years old. Mashiach will come. We have Emuna. It'll come eventually. The world, when Mashiach will come, the world will catch up. The world will catch up where it was meant to be, and Shalom al Yisrael. It's not so. It's a different Mashiach. If Maisa Avo Simon Labonim, if Mashiach is going to come, Achishena will come, Shoiv, Oshuv, Elecha, Ko'ez, these two psukim allude to the coming of Mashiach. If we will merit Mashiach coming together, Shoiv, Oshuv, Elecha, Ko'ez, Chaya, it will come one day earlier than its predestined time, the ramifications are enormous. All of the problems are avoided. If Mashiach is only going to come, Lamoid, Oshuv, Elecha, Ko'ez, Chaya, There's a lot of baggage that comes along with that. Because when it comes Lamoed, finally Vashem Kasha Amar, and now the baby was born Lamoed. Yeah, it was born Lamoed. After Sarah was abducted, after this late sonus, and after we have all of this baggage, and now we're fighting wars to undo all of the trouble that we got ourselves into. So the Musar Haskel is, person should not be complacent, we should not be complacent, and think, listen, so Mashiach didn't come this year. There's always a next year. There's always a Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. If it's not going to be this year, it'll be next year. Every year, every moment that it's delayed, brings with it collateral damage.
This is against the Satmar.
Collateral damage. I didn't say that. Satmar also wants it to come earlier. They just have a different way of it coming. Okay, they have a different Mashiach. But there's collateral damage in the delay of Mashiach. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Vatihi nitziv melach. What happened? What happened to the wife of Lot? The wife of Lot was told, don't look back. You don't deserve to be saved. You also deserve to be destroyed. She could not control herself. She turned back. Vatihi nitziv melach. Rashi tells us, why did she turn into a pillar of salt? Because it all started with salt. Rashi has some very powerful words and said, when guests would come to their home, Lot, who was trained and brought up in the home of Avram, said to his wife, it's not enough just to bring them food. Give them some flavor. Please bring them some salt. And she said to him, it's bad enough to tolerate that we're going to feed them. But af haminug hazeh tovi bibeisenu, you also want to bring this custom of giving salt, the minhag, the words of Rashi are very important. You also want to introduce this custom of giving salt that we can tolerate. In other words, from Rashi we learn that Sodom was a very complicated society. Chazal,
when did Lot marry her?
It's not clear. I don't know. Maybe he married her. Lot. It's not clear when he married her. Chazal. If you study Chazal well, you will find that Chazal apologized to a certain degree for the behavior of Sodom. Sodom, you know, they had an article this week, and it's all over the news about a 90-year-old man who's feeding the homeless in Florida, and they arrested him. It's illegal to feed the homeless in Florida, and he's defiant, and he says these people, they interview him on the radio, they're so poor that how could you not give them a piece of bread? So why doesn't the city allow people to feed them? They don't want to encourage homeless people frequenting public places where there are children and there's recreation. It's just not Shane. It's not Shane. In Sodom, Chazal, so the city has a very good argument. You know, you can make a very powerful argument for the city. They're right. You know, the city invests millions of dollars to build these beautiful parks, and it's for children, for healthy people, and you want to go invite people that are not clean, and it brings disease, and it does this, it does that. You can make a very powerful argument. And indeed, Chazal, to some degree, defend Sodom. Sodom was Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It was Gan Eden. Gan Eden, everyone's going to Gan Eden. Everyone wants a ticket in. It was the hottest place to be. But when the whole world is flocking, the flocking to come to Sodom to partake of the delicacies, the wealth, the streets are paved with gold. No one has to work. It can destroy the whole country within 5 minutes if you open up the borders. Okay, politics are mechol. Open up the borders. You can destroy the whole country in 5 minutes. You can destroy the country. There has to be restrictions. Otherwise, it's not fair. People here worked their way in. They got in here legally. People who came to Sodom, they worked very hard. They were on a list for 20 years. They worked their way in. And now you're just going to let other people come in for free? It's not fair. There are restrictions. You can't take in people off the street. You can make a very powerful argument why the people of Sodom behaved the way they did, why they were extremely mean. And Chazal do. And they're not 100% held accountable because there was a logic behind what they did. And Lot's wife was a product of this society. But yet, Lot's wives, listen, lo yechdal evyon mikeref haaretz. There is such a thing that there are always going to be poor people. It's a guarantee. And we have a duty to be kind to poor people. So, okay, Lot's wife, and Lot's wife represented society. There were women in politics then as well. And Lot's wife represented society, and she said, okay, you want to let the poor people in? They can come in. Let them come in, and we'll invite guests, and we'll feed them, we'll provide them. But we're not giving them salt. Because it's enough that we sustain them, the beer, they're poor people. We'll let them in. The poor people have to know they're poor and they're second class and they're not entitled to the full benefits of society. The perks, the salt, the flavor. The flavor they can't have. They can't have the flavor of society. Lot said no. You're right, we can't destroy society. No one's arguing with that point. You can't take down the borders. Okay, you have to, you can't take down the border. You have to be restrictions. But the people that we let in have to be treated with dignity. If they're already here, they're entitled to salt. They're entitled to have a life that has some flavor. Has some flavor. The Minog and Lot, this was the big dispute between the Hashkafa of Lot and the Hashkafa. There were two people who led government, had government positions. They were fighting this out. Two different parties. Parties in government. Lot and Lot's wife. And Lot's wife, her party won. And they did not allow salt. And it was called a minhag. It's just a custom. It's just a minhag. This, the Torah view to be, this is against the Hashkafa of the Torah. That's what we learned. The minhag is that once a person is part of society, ki lo yechdal evyoin, there has to be a balance. No one's coming to deny the fact that it's not a free-for-all. But you also have to acknowledge there are going to always be poor people and there has to be assistance. And once you give assistance, you have to be with dignity. And dignity requires salt. Salt, and salt here is defined as a minhag. This was the deeper insight into what was taking place in the city of Sodom. And just taking this a job for this is not original, this is something which many commentators explain is, why is salt used here as the mushroom for minhag? In Klal Yisrael, we have today hundreds, if not thousands, of minhagim. Every community has a minhag. A minhag, the perfect mushroom for a minhag is this chazal, salt. Salt is not something you can live on. Ein me'orvin b'mayim u'v'melach. Salt is not a substance which you can live on. You can't make an eruvi chatzeros. You can't come together with salt. But yet, salt is what gives life flavor. Minhage Yisrael is what gives Yadus flavor. The whole Sodom was obliterated because of Minhagim. Alachas kama v'kama mida tova meruba mimida paranis, that the entire Klal Yisrael can be preserved, not through the Ikarim, through Minhage Yisrael. I told you this 100 times. Rav Shol Salanter, there was once in Davening Geshem, there was no kittel, and he required the community to wait an hour for a person to bring a kittel, and he said to the people, what do we have today in Klal Yisrael? Minhagim, it's all we live on today. Everything is bottled, there's no basis in this, no Eretz Yisrael, we're in Golis. Minhagim are worth, it's kedai to wait an hour to bring the kittel to preserve the Minhag Yisrael. Salt was the minhag. It captured the essence of the minhag of Sodom. Because of minhag, it was Hashem had a complaint. It was destroyed, obliterated, and all of that with the minhag represents in salt. And likewise, through in the positive form through minhag, we can preserve the essence, preserve the nature of Klal Yisrael. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.